Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
I want to talk to you today about setting a new pattern. So somebody say pattern. Setting a new pattern. And that's what we've had to do, is we've had to rearrange our lives and change routines. I know for me, I've got like I'm just set up a chin-up bar at home. I got this old gas pipe and kind of worked out a spot in the furnace room that I could fit and do chin-ups. And you know, the intent and the pattern is to like work out, and everything's changing. You know, we've got to set up. I bought myself a yoga mat. Didn't have a yoga mat, bought myself. I made sure I got the extra plush yoga mat, you know, because I'm old now, and so it's the 1-inch version. And shopping on Amazon, don't make shopping on Amazon your new pattern, all right? Limit it, boundaries, guys. Turn to the person in your living room right now and just say boundaries from Amazon. Good. And so, but this is kind of like involuntary jet lag. Like, you know, when you travel over to another place in the world, and then you land, and then your body, your life has to catch up with your new environment. And that's what it's felt like this week. It's felt like some sort of involuntary jet lag, like our whole world and our whole lives have to play catch up to a new pattern. And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about God's will and in the Thy Will series and the patterns of God's will that He has for your life and for my life. There are certain patterns of His will that never change. One of those things is to stay in church. Come on. One of those things is to love your neighbor. That pattern will never change. Honor will never change. And there are certain things about God's will that I want to focus on today about making sure that this pattern is in our life. And so where I want you to turn is I want you to turn to 1 Thessalonians, don't say that three times fast, chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16 to 18. It says this, it says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, even in COVID-19 world. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will. God's will. God's will. This is Thy will for you in Christ Jesus. And I love the Thessalonica church. I love the Thessalonian church. This church actually reminds me of our church. When I read through Thessalonians, did you know that the Thessalonian church was actually the very first church? It was written about in the book of Acts, and this is where Christianity started from. And they had a reputation all around the world, like that God was moving in this church. They were amazing at loving one another, caring for one another, shepherding each other, and reaching out. They had the heart of Christ, and that's C3 Toronto. That is our church. The way that I've seen you caring for each other, reaching out to one another, and making sure that even in the midst of everything going on, to continue to be the church and be a great example, has been absolutely outstanding. And the Thessalonian church, when you read about it, it was one of the most persecuted churches. They had to be rejoicing. They had to be giving thanks right in the middle of persecution and suffering. And I think that that relates, obviously, to state the obvious, that relates. In our world, in our environment right now, where there are so many things to get negative about, that we can be like that Thessalonian church and rejoice always. This is God's will for our lives, to pray without ceasing and to give thanks in all circumstances. It doesn't necessarily say give thanks for all circumstances. I'm not thanking God for some crazy flu that's killing people. I'm thanking God that in the middle of all of this, He can get the glory. Amen. Amen. So we're setting a new pattern. So number one, it is God's will for us to set a different pattern. Somebody say different. Set a different pattern. Rejoicing always and giving thanks in all circumstances is a different pattern. I'm telling you that. to have a buoyant spirit like a cork on the ocean, where no matter how much life tries to push you down, we have buoyancy in Jesus. No matter how much the church gets persecuted, no matter how much the enemy wants to try and take the people of God and instill fear and instill whatever in their lives, that the church has a different pattern. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. And then, and it wouldn't be saying that if it wasn't easy to conform to the pattern of this world. Like it is, it's easy, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. These verses are so relevant right now. Then you're able to test and approve, or it means to be the proof of God's will, of His will. He's good. His will is good. His will is pleasing, and His will is perfect. That's Romans 12, verse 2. You and I are called to stand out, and this church is called to stand out. That is the way that we show hope to a world without Jesus. You and I are the proof. This church is the proof that God is good and that His will is pleasing, and that we can be stoked and happy and laugh about life and enjoy life no matter what we're going through. That is what the church of the Thessalonian church, that's what they were like. Is they started worshiping King Jesus when the world was telling them to worship Caesar. And because they weren't worshiping Caesar like the world, and they had a different king, the world would try to take them out and try to persecute them. And then what they chose to do is, in the middle of all the suffering, in the middle of all the persecution, they chose to rejoice always and to give thanks in all circumstances. Because the truth is, if we had nothing else to be thankful for, the one fact that you and I get to have relationship with Christ, then, well, that's all there needs to be. That's all we need to be thankful for. You know, but you're called to stand out. I'm called to stand out. I stand out in Canada. I do. The moment I talk, the moment things start coming out of my mouth and my Aussie accent, people ask me, like, oh, you know, what are you doing here? Like, you know, what's your story or whatever? And so many times I would tell people, you know, I stopped using the word pasta because people, like, don't really know what that is. They think I'm into some sort of Italian food or something. And, you know, using the word minister feels a little old school for me. So I tell people, I say, hey, I'm a preacher. That's what I do. And they're like, oh, really? And, like, you kind of get this weird look, as in, like, now I stand out even more. Sometimes wearing Jesus makes us stand out. And so this guy with this Aussie accent, he's a preacher. And I'm like, yeah, you know, my wife and I, we started a church. And so many times I want to tell you that people have said, oh, what church is that? And then I'll respond and I'll be like, oh, it's a church called C3, the letter C, the number 3. And they're like, oh, I've heard about that church. I've read about C3. Wait, is that the one from, like, the Globe and Map? Is that the one from, like, Toronto Life? I'm pretty sure. And I'm like, yeah, that's, I'm just so proud of this church, because our church stands out in our city. It's like a beacon of light. It's a beacon of light. It's a beacon of hope. And that our church has an amazing, awesome reputation in the city of Toronto. And that is the church that God called us to be in the first place. He called us to be a how can this be church. As in, when people look at your life and they see the way you're navigating the world's climate right now, the thing that they ought to say is, how can you be like that? That's, like, it's quite remarkable that in the midst of, you know, that doctor's report, in the midst of that financial report, in the midst of that, whatever it is, the health report or whatever, that, like, that you display a, in all circumstance, a thanksgiving Christ-like spirit. It's going to make you stand out. It's going to give God glory, and it's going to shift things and change things around people's worlds, and people will want what you have. So just, you know, in all these messages, I'm making sure that I help the discussion happened by doing connect group questions and connect group discussions. So the first connect group question is, and things that I want you to consider at home, are what are the patterns that you are intentionally setting in now that everything is different? What are the patterns, the routines that you are intentionally setting in now that everything has changed? So you should talk about prayer life. You should talk about fitness. You should talk about economy and money and all these things. But also, there's another thing that I want you to consider in point two here is our speech. So point two is the voice of faith is the evidence of God. The voice of faith is evidence of God in our lives. And I'll say this. The voice of negativity or the voice of doubt is the evidence of God's absence in our life. So faith is the evidence of God. Doubt is the evidence without God. But we are a people of faith. You and I are a people of faith. This rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstance. It has a sound to it. Your life has a tone. Your life has an echo, a sound wave, a vibe about it. And yes, it's totally heard by what actually comes from our mouth, but our actions reverberate our belief system in God. The way we navigate life, our reactions reverberate what we know God to be. Your life has a tone, and the tone of your life, the sound of your life, will either prove one of two things. It will either prove God's existence, so the language that comes from your mouth will be the proof that God exists, or the language that comes from your mouth and my mouth could be the proof of what exists in the world, what everybody's talking about, what everybody knows. We're in baby season right now. You know that, little baby Ayla. She's all of like a week and a couple of days old right now. And, you know, if you haven't seen photos, you should DM me. I'll send you a photo or something because she is the cutest baby ever. We're in baby season again, learning all about it again. And I was looking at these studies that of sounds that are atrocious to people's hearing and sounds that people love listening to. And the number one sound that people love listening to, which this will preach for another day, is actually applause. Like applause or gratitude is the number one thing that's music to people's ears. And the number one thing that's negative to people's ears that people hate, apparently when they would attach these things to the brain to work it out, is a knife going over the top of a bottleneck. So let's not be doing that. But number two, negatively is a baby crying and positively is a baby laughing. So you need to pray for every mom out there. You need to pray for Pastor Jess right now because it's like living a bipolar existence. At one minute the baby's laughing and the other minute the baby's crying. But I feel that this is the same for God. God with his kids. What is the tone of our lives? Does it please God? In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, it says, God was not pleased with the Israelites and their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. And then in verse 10, it says it's because they were grumbling, because they were complaining. So I wonder about, I read this, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, and I think about the tones and the languages and the things that I'm saying to other people, and the Bible says is that we need to take captive every thought and we need to control the tongue. In James, it says the tongue is like a rudder that can move an entire ocean liner in direction, that the tongue has power like a small spark to either set a whole forest on fire, and that can be the evil of the tongue. It says if you could control the tongue, you could control every single area in our lives. So the tongue is so important, and the Israelites actually got trapped in the middle of something because they were grumbling. Their bodies were scattered in the wasteland. They were scattered in the desert because they couldn't get into check. They're complaining and they're murmuring. The tone of their lives wasn't worship to God. The tone of their lives wasn't a spirit of praise, wasn't a spirit of gratitude. You know, they were in the wilderness. They had people chasing after them. They were wondering about food and water. Their lives were year after year, 40 years. I mean, we might be in this situation right now for 40 days, but the Israelites are in this wilderness experience for 40 years. They had every reason not to be in joy, every reason to complain. And so why would they be penalized for it? It's because there is a mode, there is a pattern, there is something different about somebody who knows God versus somebody who doesn't know God. That when we know God, that inside of us, inside the depths of our spirit, there is a part of us that understands that joy can come out of anything, that we can be thankful in the midst of anything, because hope is always inevitable. Like, the end of the story is hope. The whole story about the Bible, it doesn't matter how bad things get, it's always positive in the end. And so in this moment, they got stuck in the desert because they were complaining. And this just makes me think about my life. It makes me think about the tones of my language. It makes me think about how I'm talking to other people and what the narrative is that I'm rehearsing, that I'm repeating, because out of the inside of my life, it flows out of my mouth, but my tongue also has the power to direct the inside of my life. Your tongue, the way you use words, has the power to direct your entire life. The Bible says is that life and death are in the power of the tongue. And I wonder if the Israelites, instead of complaining and grumbling in the desert, I wonder if they had said, "Hey, God, I thank you that you got me out of yesterday. That means that we'll get through tomorrow. I thank you that you parted the Red Sea. I thank you that you drove us away from our enemies. I thank you, Lord, that you set us free. I thank you, Jesus, that I know you. I thank you, God." And if they had that spirit, they would have had different eyes to see what they were facing tomorrow. And so for me, this reminds me of a time when in our church, I was doing a lot of complaining, and I wasn't necessarily complaining to God. I was actually complaining a lot to my wife, Jess, when our church was struggling to grow past 100 people. So I was saying to Jess, you know, like, I don't know, like, I don't think we can do this. This is too hard. I don't think we're meant to see our church grow. I don't think we're pastors that should be. And I was complaining, like, you know, why is this happening? Why isn't that happening? We don't have this and we don't have that. And then God convicted me in prayer. He said, if you're not valuing the 100 that are right in front of you, why would I send you another 100 people? And it was so convicting to me. And the moment that I actually changed the tone, changed the radio station, changed the sound of the pattern of my speech, was the moment that I saw a value that I couldn't see while I was complaining. So all of a sudden, I started thinking, man, God, you've sent these people. These people are amazing. The future of tomorrow's church is coming out of these people. And I thank you, Lord, for these people. And I thank you for what you're going to do through these people. And now in hindsight, now looking at where our church is at today, and, you know, so many thousands of people, I think 6,500 people have made decisions for Christ through our church, and all these stories and wonderful miracles and everything has all come out of the first 100 people. And so the moment that my tone changed, all of a sudden, growth started happening. All of a sudden, God started blessing it. Things shifted. Things changed. And I want to tell you, if you find yourself in the middle of a desert season, in the middle of something, and, you know, I'm not obviously just talking about what we're going through right now in the world, but I'm talking about a whole bunch of other things. I'm talking about your last 6 months. I'm talking about your current existence. If you find yourself getting negative about something, where God is calling us to rejoice always and to give thanks in all circumstances, not necessarily for all circumstances, but there is something to praise God about. If you have found yourself not having those patterns and those tones, well, then I encourage you that the breakthrough moment is the breakthrough of praise. And I think of Paul and Silas in prison. That is exactly how they got out of a place where they were bound, locked up, and feeling like there wasn't hope. What got them out of that? Praise, the pattern of praise. So connect group thought number two. So number one is, what are the patterns that you, what are the rhythms that you're setting in, the new rhythms? Let's talk about that. Let's make sure that we are getting a new grip on this world that we live in. Number two is, share some things that you are grateful for through this season. I know it's simple, but it's powerful. Share some things that you're grateful for through this season. It might be the other people in your living room right now. That might be what you're grateful for. Amen. So number three, now listen, when I was reading this, number three is abide in Jesus. When I was reading this, there was three things in this. Pray without rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances. And this is God's will for our lives. So rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Now, this whole idea of praying without ceasing was sandwiched between the other two, rejoicing and giving thanks. And God spoke to me and said, because I felt that this is an impossible task. I feel like sometimes what God asks for is impossible. God asks for perfection. It's impossible. So how do we gain it? We do it through belief in Jesus. God asks us in an impossible moment to have a posture of praise, to be rejoicing through everything, and to be giving thanks in all circumstances. You know, why doesn't he just empathize with our situation? Let me get on my stinking soapbox for a second and let me complain. No, because as I said, that praise is the evidence of God's existence in our lives. And so this is a really amazing season that help us evaluate how we abide in Jesus. Do you need Sunday service at church to know that you abide in Jesus? What is the pattern of you abiding in Jesus in your own life? When we abide in Jesus, like this is what John 15 is all about, as we abide in him and he in us. And as when we abide in Jesus, we actually understand that it's not from our own strength, from our own resource, that the spirit of joy comes from. The joy comes from him. In his strength, that is where joy comes from. We have this spirit of thanksgiving that comes from a place of knowing how we're rooted and grounded in Jesus. So the trick here is praying without ceasing. What does that mean? That doesn't mean pray hands or like a meeting time or a prayer meeting time. We run our prayer meeting every Thursday night as a church, and we're doing that through that this time. Last Thursday was incredible. We're connecting everybody digitally through prayer. But I'm not praying without ceasing is not being in a room or being in a closet and praying and never stop praying. What it means is don't do life without God. That's what it means. Don't do life without God. And one of the things through the Thy Will series that we've been preaching, even as we were talking about vision builders, is this temptation to constantly lean on our own human strength. And the posture of praying without ceasing is that is Emmanuel, God with us. God wants in your world. And when we allow him in our world, then out of that overflow becomes a posture of rejoicing, a posture of joy, a posture of strength, a posture of faith as we abide in him. Amen. So later in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 24, it says, "The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." So you're like, Sam, this is impossible. For me to be happy, for me to be in joy, like all the time, for me to have a new pattern of thanksgiving in all circumstances, are you kidding me? Don't you know what's going on in my life? Like, no, here it says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 24, just later, it says, "The one who calls you." Anything he calls us to, he graces us for. Anything he asks you to do, he resources you for. It's his vision, and he puts the provision behind it. And he will do it. He will do it. And so in Matthew 12, it says, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." And when we abide in Jesus, our spirit has an abundance of God inside it. And so when we find our language starts to sound less like God, the problem isn't dealing with the language, the problem is dealing with the prayer life, is dealing with abiding in Jesus. When we find more fear and anxiety and negativity are coming out of our mouths, the problem isn't to change the way we speak. The problem is to instill a pattern of abiding in Christ. When we go to the Word every day, and that's why we're doing the devotionals and the throne segments every day. When we go to the Word every day, when we abide in Him every day, when we focus on Him every day, He fills the abundance of our heart with Himself. And then out of our heart, flow out of our mouth, God. And God doesn't sound like anything less than joy and praise and faith. And so the last thing that I want you to discuss is the prayer pattern. I just want you to talk about, as a Connect group, is I want you to talk about the rhythms and the patterns that you're putting in your life. I want you to discuss some things that you are grateful for in this season, for sure. But I definitely don't want us to be talking about this all out of positive thinking and some sort of like self-help talk. I want to talk about the fact that you and I are called to abide in Jesus. This exchange of being in relationship with Jesus is put to the test right now. How grounded in God are we? And I want us to talk about in our homes and in our Connect groups, in our meetings this week, I want us to talk about our prayer pattern, our prayer life. What does that look like right now? Because it's changed for all of us. How are you doing it if you've got kids or whatever it is? So we're setting a new pattern. And the pattern, there is a pattern of God in our life and it's a pattern with God in our lives. And I just want to speak right out here through this camera. I want to speak to every single person that feels like that they've been doing life without a pattern of God. The pattern of life has been doing life without God. If that's you, I want to give you a moment right now, an opportunity to respond to faith, to respond to Jesus. I want you to change the pattern, the rhythm of your life, not just talking about what's going on right now in this time where we're isolated at home. I'm talking about, does your life have a pattern with God in it? God wants in your marriage, He wants in your relationships, He wants in your finances, He wants in your health. And you doing life with God is the most important decision you'll ever make. So even as you're sitting there in your living room or as you're sitting there wherever you're watching this on your phone or wherever you're tuning in, I want you to right now think about what is abounding in your heart. What is the condition of your heart? Is God abounding in your heart? Does He live in your heart? Have you ever given your life to Jesus? And I'm going to ask everybody, even as you're watching this, to just listen to my voice, and you can close your eyes where you're at. If you just want to close your eyes and just ask yourself the question, do I need to give my life to Jesus? Or maybe you need to, with your eyes closed, maybe you need to recommit your life to Jesus. And if that's you, I'd like an opportunity to pray with you, even through this camera right now. I want to pray with you. And just as a prayer, it's a simple prayer that invites Jesus into your heart. And so if that's you, as I've been preaching, if you've been like, man, what's flowing out of my life? It doesn't sound like God much. And I need to recommit my life to Him. Or maybe you're like, I've never invited Jesus into my heart. I want to tell you that in no matter what circumstance, that you can always give thanks if God is there, if hope is in your heart. So if that's you, if you're someone that's making this decision right now, I want you to click on the hand on your screen that says that I'm raising my hand for Jesus. But I also want you to take this moment in prayer with me. So repeat these words after me. Say, dear Jesus, I thank you that you died on a cross for me. I invite you into my heart as my Savior and my Lord. And please help me follow you from this day onward. In your name, Jesus, amen. 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 Hey, let me pray for everybody. Father God, I thank you for everybody tuning in right now. I thank you, Jesus, that even though that we're experiencing a complete change of rhythm right now, that we can consider the patterns that exist in our life, that we can consider the patterns. Are they godly patterns? Are they the proof of your existence? What are the things that are coming out of our mouth? What are the things? What does our life sound like? And Lord God, that you would reveal to us, Father, how you want us to make subtle adjustments so that we can stand out in a very real way, in a different way, in a God-honoring way that shows the entire world that hope is found in Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys.